the Transit Lounge podcast. This podcast is all about helping women to grow a service-based side business to be a viable future full-time business. I'm your host, Chandra, and this episode is the fourth in a series of 9 tips that are celebrating 9 years since I started my business called the Transit Lounge. And because I know that you have a lot on your plate, these episodes are snackable. They are designed to be short and sharp so you can fit them into your commute or when you're making dinner or some little gap in your day. So let's dive in. Now, for most businesses, niching is something that is talked about a lot. And I know that for some people, it can be a source of real frustration or confusion or both. And so I want to share my take on niching for women, specifically in a service-based business. When I started my business, I heard about niching and niche a lot. And I believed that I did have a niche. But when I look back on it, I realized that I didn't, not really, not a really well-defined one anyway. I started when I did my coach training and I first started going into business, I started doing work around personal branding. And then I sort of found that that didn't really land as well. And so I refined it to women at a professional crossroad. But even though I thought that that was a clear niche, it was still too broad. And that really hurt my progress in a few ways. Here's a couple of examples of how it hurt my progress. One, when you don't have a well-defined niche, your marketing is a lot harder. Trying to find the right kind of language to use to attract your audience, the right kind of images that really connect with and reflect your audience. It's really, really hard to do that when your niche is too broad. Second thing is that your messaging is just not going to be as clear or as compelling as it needs to be to get the attention of the right people and to get them to want to buy from you. So you risk getting lost in all the noise. Three, when you have a niche that's too broad, or you have perhaps more than one niche, which a lot of people ask me about having, and we'll talk about that in a second. What happens is when you have more than one niche, you multiply your workload and your effort because you have to run separate marketing campaigns. You have to have separate pathways and processes and campaigns for each of those separate niches because each one of them has to be designed to appeal to the specific subset that you are trying to connect with. You can't try and communicate with all of them in one campaign. And the fourth way that being too broad in your niche can hurt you is that you can accidentally be positioning yourself as a generalist. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being a generalist. In some instances, it may be the right choice, but it's going to be nowhere near as beneficial or impactful for you as you being seen and positioned as a specialist within a niche, which is exactly what happens when you have a clear and specific niche. Because when you have a niche, you're generally going to be able to charge higher rates for what it is that you offer because you are a specialist. You can be seen to be and to become the go-to expert in that field. And that just opens up so many opportunities for you to have things like being opportunities to be a guest speaker at somebody else's event or a contributor to an industry or a niche specific kind of event or promotion or campaign, conferences or media platforms, podcasts, etc. And the thing is too that when you are niched and you position yourself as a specialist in that area, you are also more likely to be booked out further in advance, which also adds to your positioning as you being seen as obviously being very good at what you do, if not one of the best at what you do. I want to give you a couple of examples of effective niches, just so you've got something to, you know, think about through the lens of, well, how might that apply in your business? For example, I have curly hair, and a while ago I heard about this approach, if you like, which is called the curly girl method. I'm not going to go into the ins and outs about that. You can, if you've got curly hair and you're curious about that, then you can go and search for it and find out. But for me, one of the things I came across when I came across this method was that there's a certain way of having your hair cut that, you know, is beneficial and good for people with curly hair compared to the way that hairdressers cut straight hair. And so there was a list of recommended curly hair specialist hairdressers. And I found one that was not too far from me. They had great reviews and I was so excited. I'm like, great, I'm going to finally find a hairdresser that really kind of gets me and gets my curls. And I can feel like I've, you know, have a style to this mop. And I jumped online to their website and their books are closed, which means they're not taking new clients. So from a business perspective, that blew my mind. I was like, this can't be smart business. What's going on? They did say you could join a wait list. And I thought, oh, okay, you know, they obviously, maybe this is a strategy that they use, that they, you know, close their books for a certain amount of time and then, you know, open them up and they get more clients that way. I was on that wait list for 2 years. I'm not even joking. I got an appointment because somebody else cancelled at the last minute and I just happened to be available. And so once I had that first appointment, I'm in. I'm not on the wait list anymore. I'm now a client. Now, I had, in those 2 years, had found another hairdresser that did do some curly hair cutting and they did an okay job. But I tell you, as soon as I got into that sort of more exclusive one that the books had been closed on, I just jumped at that and I have only gone back to them and I didn't go back to the other hairdresser anymore. Now this new hairdresser charges more and they just have doubled down on their niche because they saw the opportunity to be seen as specialists in that area. They literally do not cut hair that isn't curly. A friend of mine told me that she tried to go there and was told that her hair was not curly enough. They don't do any styling. They don't do coloring because they like it that way. They can focus on what they really want to do. They are predictably busy. They work the days and the hours that they want. They don't need heaps and heaps of staff or excessive stock on hand in order to run their salon. And it's a business that really works for them and the way that they define success for themselves in their business. And that is a whole nother idea for a topic for a podcast episode about defining success. Because yes, they could hire more staff and, you know, may offer more things. And I actually had this conversation with my hairdresser, Nikki, and you know, she said that they, in the past, they did have a salon that offered more things and it was more complex and more exhausting. And now they've refined their niche. It really works for them. So that's one example of a hair salon that has really niched and benefited from that. Another example are three different naturopaths that I know of. And you might go, okay, well, they're naturopaths, so they kind of all do the same thing. And in principle, there are probably a lot of things that are very similar or that overlap between these three different naturopaths, but they each have very clearly defined niches. And so when I come across somebody who wants a recommendation for a naturopath, I'm able to direct them to the one that I think might best suit what the person needs. So these three naturopaths, one is called Ange, and she specializes in working with perimenopausal women. That is her niche. Then there's Tasha, and she specializes in fertility and helping women to conceive naturally. And a third naturopath is also called Ange, and she specializes in gut health. So that's an example of essentially the one profession, but three very, very different niches. So when we talk about a niche, from a definition point of view, what I want you to keep in mind is that a niche is a narrow and clearly defined specific audience that your business works with. And there's a saying, you know, that I've heard back in the day. I have no idea who said it originally, but it's that the riches are in the niches, as the Americans say, niche, not niche. And the other one is that you want your niche to be an inch wide and a mile deep. And by that, it's talking about the fact that you don't need to have a really wide, broad market. What you need is a clearly identified, narrow and specific market that has more than enough people in it who will potentially want and need what it is that you offer. So I want to just quickly share with you some three different ways of how you can niche in a service-based business. There's three different ways you can do it. I want you to listen to this so you can think, oh, well, which way might work best for me? The first option, in no particular order, is the problem that you solve or the solution that you offer. So this is where you want to think about what it is that your clients want or need, or the problem that they've got, or the solution that they're looking for. So do your clients need a logo? Do they need a website? Do they want to renovate their home? Do they want to buy a new home? Do they want to climb Mount Everest? Do they want to learn to meditate? Do they want to transport their pet that they love from one state to another? Do they want to get a promotion at work? So you can identify your niche through the problem that you solve or the solution that you offer. That's option number one. Option number two of a way that you could niche is through the demographic that you work with, or if you're business to business, the industry that you work with. So when we think about this from a point of view of demographics, it could be that you work with women over 40. It could be that you work with mums with teenage kids or retirees. There's some of the examples of demographics, and you can get more specific than that, but they're just some examples around different demographics. On the B2B, the business to business side of things, where you are going to niche with the industry that you work with, it could be that you specialize in working with dentists or people in the media or real estate agents or lawyers or corporates. That's some examples of different industries that you could niche into. So you could do either of those first two options, and they may be enough and narrow enough and clear enough for what you offer. But this third option is definitely the strongest option, is a combination of both one and two. So the combination would be a specific solution or problem that you solve for a specific demographic or industry. So for example, and I'm really just thinking about some of the clients that I work with at the moment when I'm giving you some of these examples, you could combine these niche options and you could do, like Siobhan does, residential renovations for people in the inner west of Sydney. You could offer meditation for corporate groups. You could provide pet transport interstate for people who are moving interstate or need to get their animals from one state to another. You could offer financial services for dentists. And I bring that up as an example because I know someone who that was his business. He was a financial planner, but he only worked with dentists. Now, when you think about this combination approach, it helps to make it very, very clear who you actually work with and what problem you help them solve. It makes your marketing so much easier. It also can make you more memorable and position you as that specialist, which, as we mentioned earlier, often means that people expect and are comfortable paying your higher rates. So they're the different ways that you can potentially niche, but how do you know if you are niched enough? Now, I want to share this because, as I mentioned, when I started my business, I heard about niche a lot and I thought that I had niched. But if I can talk you through some of my evolution, it might help give you some insight about where I was not quite clear enough so that you can apply that to your situation. So my evolution that I thought was clear was I wanted to work with women at a professional crossroad. And I thought that was really clear because there was a demographic, which was women, and a problem that they had, which was they were at a professional crossroad. Tick, tick, done. But then as I started, you know, actually marketing and talking and having conversations with people and looking at different offers to put together and how to promote them and what things to include, I realized that it was actually super broad. So for example, within that umbrella of women at a professional crossroad, it could have included women wanting a promotion in their current organization. It could have been women wanting to get a job in a different industry. It could have been women wanting to get a position on a board. It could have been women facing some sort of career setback. It could have been women, mums re-entering the workforce. It could be a university graduate who is just starting out in her career. It could have been a woman wanting to start a business. Because all of those seven different options that I just told you all technically fit under that umbrella of professional crossroad, which might sound great. You think, oh, there's heaps of women that you could work with. But even though I can and I could back then work with and help all of those women in different ways, they all actually have slightly different needs, problems, and concerns. They also are potentially at different ages and stages of life. So how was I supposed to communicate through my marketing, through my social media, communicate in a way that would resonate with all of those different situations to connect with all of those different stages and types of women? The short answer is that I couldn't. So when I was really struggling to find the language to use and my marketing was hard, you know, that's when I sort of went, okay, I have to start to choose to narrow down a little bit more. I need to narrow my focus. And every time I did narrow my niche, what I found was that the marketing got just a little bit easier. And I could, every time I niched, I could see even more opportunity to keep narrowing my niche even further. Even when I thought, oh yeah, that's it, that's super clear, super nailed. And so I just kept refining and refining. And I eventually narrowed it to working with women who were making career change to start a business as a specific niche. And I thought, yep, that's clear. That's, you know, clear enough. But now I've narrowed it even further to women who are growing a service-based side business. So I share that with you just as an example of taking a bit of pressure off you feeling like maybe you have to try and, you know, get it right first time, or that if you feel like you did have a niche, but now you're realizing it's maybe not as clear as it could be or needs to be. This is not about you having the biggest possible market. It's about you having an engaged audience who actually feel reflected in your messaging, and they feel like you can actually potentially help them achieve what it is that they want to achieve. And look, there's so much more that we could explore about niching as, you know, one of the foundation pieces, if you like, of having a solid foundation for a successful business. But that is for another time. So your action question for this episode is, what do you think your current niche situation is right now? Which one of the three options that I gave you about the three different ways that you can niche do you think your business niche fits into at the moment? Second question is there a way that you could keep niching it further to position yourself as the go-to person for that audience or that issue? And as I said before, don't feel like you have to nail it first time. It can evolve over time, just like mine did. Just know that if you are finding it hard to reach your audience or to connect with them, to convert sales, or if it feels really hard to know what content to create or where to promote your business, a good place for you to review is to look at your niche. And even if you feel like, and this is common, even if you feel like you want to have more than one niche, or that you're just not sure yet which one is the right one to choose, just choose one to focus on and run some campaigns just highlighting and focusing in on that niche to see what happens. And then you can either just keep rolling with that one because you're seeing good results, or you can test another one. A trap to just really look out for also is that when you describe what you do and who for, if you find yourself having to use multiple ands or multiple ors, that's a sign that you might be hedging your bets too much and being too broad. So for example, if you're saying, I work with new mums, but I also work with teachers and I can also work with women in business, then you can start to see they're very different audiences. The other thing that can happen is that if you find yourself having general broad sweeping statements, like a sign that I saw for a beauty salon online the other day that said, for anyone with skin. And I know that some people might think, oh, that's kind of clever and funny. And some people might think, oh, that's great because like, oh, everyone has got skin. But actually from a business point of view, it's generally not great, because there's such a broad range of skin conditions, skin stages, skin issues. And I think for me, seeing somebody advertising that they're for anyone with skin, it wouldn't make me feel confident about going there because they haven't called out anything that helps me identify my concerns or my aspirations. They're just for anyone. So that's a bit of an insight to my decision making, I guess. So a quick recap for you. This tip is about encouraging you to be refining and keep refining your niche because it will help your business grow, even though that feels counterintuitive. You want to consider the lens of how succinctly you can state who you help and what problem you help them solve. And if you can't choose one niche to focus on, or you're not sure which one, just choose one to experiment with so that you're not trying to promote yourself to all the different niches that you might want to work with all at once. And the big takeout is just keep niching and taking action, and that's where you'll see the biggest amount of progress. That's it for this quick tip episode, but you can get more tips and support to help you refine your niche and to keep growing your service-based side business. Come and join our free Facebook community for women just like you, and it is called Side Business Australia. I'll put a link in the show notes for you, and I'll see you next time.